Welcome to Question Period. I'm Evan Solomon. Former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney joins us today with a warning on trade with the U.S. and advice on Russia. Red scare. Just how dangerous is Russia and Vladimir Putin to Western democracy?
My message to all of us with regard to Russia is take a Valium.
Today, Brian Mulroney joins us on Russia, on why the upcoming NAFTA negotiation will be tough, and where the Conservative Party needs to go next. And then, cyber attack. Will Canada's next election be hacked? The answer is yes. And Minister Karina Gould is here to tell us how the government is going to try to prevent that. Plus, Red Bear.
We believe the House of Commons has the authority to pass the budget bill.
Are unelected senators in the Red Chamber now trying to claw back laws made by elected MPs? Is the newly independent Senate now too hard to control? MPs are here to debate that. And then, shock doctrine.
We'll build the wall. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it.
Should we really be shocked by the rise of Donald Trump, or is this just the beginning of what some see as a corporate takeover of the U.S. government? Best-selling author Naomi Klein is back with her new book on how she wants to fight Trump-style politics. This is Question Period. Let's go get some answers.
The United States should thank their lucky stars every morning that they have Canada on their northern border.
Well, suddenly, former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney is back in the center of things, especially as the U.S. and Canada get set to renegotiate the NAFTA deal. Mulroney knows all of the key players. He knows President Donald Trump well. He knows the U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, and he's been advising the Trudeau government on how to proceed. Now, Trump, of course, is the most unpredictable president in history. So, what should Canada be prepared for in the upcoming negotiation? I sat down with a former prime minister when he was in Ottawa to find out. Prime Minister Mulroney, great to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Evan.
Everyone's talking to you now about the upcoming NAFTA negotiations because of your relationship with Trump, Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary. You've met Jared Kushner. I mean, this is the inner circle around the man who you know. Biggest challenge for Canada as we go into the NAFTA negotiations that started off as tweaks but now look a lot more.
No. Well, not take any of the bait. Don't rise to accept any of the challenges. This is a period of a phony war right now. Canada has to respond at the bargaining table. So we're using, or we should be using, and I think we are, the time to hire the best people, structure the best organizational team, prepare tremendously on questions of substance, and get ready for the real negotiations. That's what matters.
You say it's the phony war, which I understand the substance of the NAFTA negotiations are not going on, but the bill is rising on softwood lumber, which is outside of NAFTA, though they want to bring it in. There's a $1 billion tariff, and it's affected. We've already had to bail out to the tune of almost $800 million, a lot of the industry in British Columbia. So there's a real consequence of this. We've now tied trade, the purchase of potentially 18 Boeing Super Hornets to protect Bombardier. So all of a sudden, there already is a consequential. Should Canada hit back now with retaliatory measures to show that we're not a pushover?
No. I think that what they're doing is fine. We're getting there to the objective. The objective is to get a renewed and modernized NAFTA. And you don't get that by, Mr. Diefenbaker used to say, said in the House of Commons, when he was being attacked by backbenchers on the other side, Mr. Diefenbaker would say, a big game hunter doesn't allow himself to be diverted by rabbit tracks. We've got a lot of rabbit tracks in this thing now. Keep on message, keep your preparation going. And I think both sides recognize that if we can, we must solve the softwood lumber case now. Otherwise, it runs the risk of poisoning the larger negotiations.
But that's what I wonder. Is it a rabbit trap? I mean, you talk to those people in the mills, and you know this. Yeah. This file goes back to when you were the prime minister. If you just consider that a rabbit trap, you ignore it. But nonetheless, it chips away. First it's lumber, then it can be other issues.
When I talked about rabbit tracks, I'm not saying that that's softwood lumber. I'm just saying that we should avoid public shouting matches with the Americans as we prepare to sit down for the whole ball of wax.
How long will the ball of wax take to settle?
Oh, I think a long time. I think this is not going to be short and sweet. We should be ready not for a sprint, but for a long distance run.
A long distance run?
Yeah.
Right. We got 2 years before the next election.
Yeah.
Will the next election be fought over the fairness of the negotiation over NAFTA? Will that be one of, long enough to become an election issue?
I don't think so, because Ronna Ambrose, in an excellent decision and leadership decision on her part, committed the Conservatives to support the government in its approach on the free trade negotiations. That doesn't mean that the Conservatives have to be neutered, but it means that it's a signal to the Americans, which was mentioned to me, by the way, by a high-ranking administration official, how impressed they were, given the chaos in their own legislative system, to hear that the government, Mr. Trudeau's government, was supported by the Conservative opposition in a united front for Canada. That's good. That's not bad. That's good for us.
So you think, though, the negotiations could go long enough to go right through the next election, though?
That's
2 years.
I think we'll have it done by then.
Oh, you do?
I do, yeah.
Just speaking of the Conservatives, they got a new leader.
Mm-hmm.
What's the advice to the new leader? What is a Conservative now to revitalize the fortunes of that party?
Well, I think that you have to... This is a good man. I don't know him very well, Mr. Scheer, but he strikes me as being a fine young man. And he's been elected 5 or 6 times, chosen as Speaker of the House, and then now as leader of the party. So he's got to adopt, he's got to modernize the shop. And he's got to adopt conservative fiscal policies and economic policies. But he's got to give the party a modern look in terms of the manner in which we appeal to the large cities and the multicultural dimension of those cities. So he's got a lot of work to do for the Conservatives, but I think he can get it done.
Donald Trump's commitment to NATO has been questioned,
yeah,
because of the Article 5 issue, which is the article that says, you know, if you do an attack on one member is an,
yeah,
attack on all members. Chrystia Freeland rearticulated Canada's role in the world. They said the U.S. has abdicated their leadership role and Canada's got to step up militarily and diplomatically. What's your view on what she said and where Canada ought to be?
Well, I think Ms. Freeland made a very good speech in the House of Commons on the way the Liberal government sees the future. And there's much in there that people, of course, can agree with. Where Donald Trump was right, 100% right, when he called on the other NATO members to stop horsing around and pay their bills. The last time Canada met his obligations, signed, sealed, and delivered obligations, the last time was when I was prime minister. That's a long time ago, when we did 2% of GDP to NATO. Since then, it's gone like this, all the way down to less than 1%. And we're one of the slackers in NATO, and we are in other areas as well. So on that one, President Trump was 100% right. But look, the fact that he said certain things and doesn't mean that the United States is not going to play the dominant international role. There's no way that Canada can replace the United States with its force internationally. And it's not going to happen. What Canada can do is continue to play a very constructive role, provided we increase our commitments to foreign aid and we increase our commitments, as they've pledged to do, to defense. Without that, you know, you're just wasting your time.
The other point Freeland made, though, is that the U.S. under Trump is more isolationist.
Yeah.
They're abdicating their role in global leadership, whether it's by a kind of lukewarm response to NATO or pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord or on globalization, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah.
And who fills the void? Canada can't do it. We don't have the capacity.
No.
But China does.
Mm-hmm.
We're increasing our trade with China. There's a big discrepancy about selling a company now to the Chinese,
mm-hmm,
without the proper security checks. Are you concerned that China fills the gap and what that does when they purchase Canadian companies? Or B, is that an opportunity you have to seize despite those concerns?
I think despite those concerns, our future, an important part of our future, lies with China and India. And we should be negotiating free trade agreements with them right now. We should start that right now. There are instances where Canada has to be very prudent as an ally of the United States and as a NATO member in the transmission of technologically sophisticated equipment and information that might be accessed by China, which is not always on our side in these areas. But I think that the general posture of Canada